Well, I decided that on Father's Day, I would turn to the prodigal son. And so often, and I know so many of you are so familiar with those words, with that story. It seems like one of the stories that we hear early on, and it sticks to us. It's the third of three stories that Jesus tells about that which is lost that becomes found. There's a richness to the detail. And so often we focus on the sons. And I want to spend some time instead on this Father's Day focusing on the Father. And in fact, as you jump right into the story, the very first thing that becomes so obvious that it's often overlooked is that when it starts out with there is a man who had two sons, right there, it starts with the fact that this man is a father. If you are here today, you have a father, an earthly father. He may not have been in your life for one second. He may have been the most important man in your life. For many, I suspect it is somewhere in between. But we all have a father, and we all have a heavenly father. And so right off the bat, it is important for us to understand that the father's role in all of this is what sets the tone for their story and for our story. Which leads me to point number two, the prodigal son, the one who goes away and then returns, is very much aware from the get-go of who his father is. And not only that, he is aware of what his father has done for him. He has lived in his father's household all of his life. He has seen his father steward an estate of some amount, enough of an amount for him to say, I want that. And as the second-born son, he's entitled to roughly a third of what it would be. The firstborn always gets a double helping in that day and age. So he is looking at a third of his father's estate. And it's interesting to contrast here because we have two sons. They grow up in the same home, and yet they have such very different outlooks. It's funny how that works. I'm a second son. I won't read any further into that. But we just have different ways of looking at things, even when we're raised in the same home. This son, raised under his father's roof, in his father's love, with his father's teaching, rebels. One son stays true, one son rebels. Despite having experienced the father's love, despite having been raised in his wisdom, that son rejects it. He says, I want to get away from you as far as I can, but only after I have received as much of a blessing from you as I can. I don't want to go out and be my own man. I want to go out and be the man that you have given me the ability to be, and then be my own man and make my own mistakes. Of course, he's not thinking about making his own mistakes. He's thinking that there must be a better life for me when I am out from underneath the yoke of my father, when I can be my own man. And so the father, in a really interesting act of grace, gives in to his request. Now understand, estates normally pass when one dies. So to be asked for a share of an estate while you're still alive is actually such an incredible sign of disrespect. It is taking from the one who would give it to you while it's still his ability to use for his own. He has to sell his own possessions to give to his son that which his son is not entitled to until the father is done using it. And yet, in his love and in his grace, he accedes to that, grants his son's wish. And in a show of gratitude, the son says, I'm getting away from you as far as I can. Scripture tells us he goes to a far land, a place where no one will know him except for the large amount of money that he arrives with, living it up. When the father and son relationship is broken, bad things happen. And this son finds out fairly quickly. Having gotten away on his own, gotten out from underneath his father's yoke, he can have his idea of fun until the money runs out. And then all of a sudden he experiences hardship in a way that he never could have imagined. He is desperate. And his financial hardship coincides with a natural time of hardship, a time of famine. And so this son, presumably Jewish, because Jesus is a Jew and he's telling a story to a predominantly Jewish audience, basically becomes an indentured servant to a man in this faraway land, selling himself into slavery. And to make matters worse, he is then placed into the pig pen, feeding the animals that the Jews felt were so unclean that they were not to touch them. This man who lived in his father's house, second son, but well cared for, decides that his father's love is not enough for him. And so he steps away. He breaks the relationship. We're either going to be a slave to God or a slave to sin. This son didn't realize that those were the choices. And off he went and found himself an indentured servant longing for the slop that the pigs would eat. When we reject the Father, he leaves us to our own consequences. We see it happen to Israel as they turn away from God's law, God's precepts. And ultimately God says, could have been my will that be done, and my will was pretty good. But you chose thy will, and so let it be. And so let the Assyrians come in and get you. So let the Egyptians come in and overtake you. So let the Babylonians come in and carry all of you into exile. Let's see how you like being on your own if you choose to walk away from me. You sever the relationship with God, and bad things happen. But it's not just in our day and age when people turn their backs on their fathers. Unfortunately, in this day and age, there is a pandemic of fathers turning their backs on their children. For those of you that didn't catch on, I was in Honduras this past week, and I had the privilege of praying with so many people, so many women whose lives were shattered because the father of their children had walked out on them, deciding that after having fathered 2-3 kids, they were off after a younger model, leaving these children to grow up without a father and a wife to not have a husband to help support, condemning them to a very difficult time. And if only it were limited to one country in Central America. But we know that's not the case, because here in this country, it is devastating us as well. The people who find themselves incarcerated, the people who find themselves trapped in poverty, the people who find themselves hooked on drugs, all because a father figure chose to seek after his own pleasure instead of taking on one of the greatest opportunities that God has presented us with, to raise up godly children. The desire to serve self is a desire that leads to servitude in sin. And there is no glory in that. There is only devastation. My own father followed that path. My own father was an alcoholic and a drug user. He was able to function sufficiently well that he could keep a job, but he kind of lost it when he would get home. And my mother was too smart a woman and too strong a woman to put up with that. And so when I was 3 years old, with a 4-year-old brother and a 2-year-old sister, my mom got divorced. And so my relationship with my father was severed, not of my doing, but by his own. And I praise God that God brought another man into my mom's life, so that 3 years later, she would marry my stepfather, and they're still married today, 46 years later. And he was the one that would teach me how to catch a ball. He was the one that would discipline me. He was the one that would be a father figure to me. If I could go back in time and tell him to do one thing better, it would be read us the Bible and teach us about our Father in heaven. God got it through my thick skull a little bit later on. When relationships with fathers are broken, bad things happen. But there is a longing for a relationship with a father. It is in us for our own fathers. It is in us for our Heavenly Father. There is no denying the presence of God. He has made it abundantly clear with all that is around us. And at some point, we all find ourselves longing for Him. We don't all give in and follow that longing, but it's there. Some have put it that there's a God-shaped hole in the hearts of all who live. And I believe that. I just wish more would seek to fill that hole with God and not something else. This young man, finding himself wallowing in misery that he never expected, never could have foreseen, although his father probably could have told him that was what was to come if he walked away, starts longing for his father, but with a new attitude. No longer does he seek after the riches of his father to enrich himself. Now he is humble. Now he understands that living under his father's rules in his father's house, even if it means living as if he were a hired hand, would be far better than being a slave to the sinful life that he had embarked on. I don't know if you've ever seen a life of a person humbled when they're brought to their knees by the circumstances that they brought upon themselves by walking away from God. It is simultaneously a very difficult thing to see, but one that brings hope and perhaps one that brings joy. Some of us need an awful lot of work to be humbled, but we must return to the one that we left with a humble heart. And this is how this son goes. He looks down, says, I can't do this anymore. Maybe my father, maybe he will let me back in. And so humbled, head hung low, he journeys back towards his father. And what this young man does not realize is that when a son walks away from a father, there is a hole in the father's heart too. The father yearns to be reconciled with his children. And the moment he sees his son walking towards him from a distance, he knows that he is a changed man. But he knows he's his son, the one he loved, the one who had been lost. And he has come back. And he is overcome. And he embraces this son. I have a feeling that even if the son were still covered in the slop from having wallowed in a pig pen, the father wouldn't have cared. He would have wrapped his arms around him and loved him even in the midst of all of his filth. Just to experience the joy of having his arms around the one he loves. When we break the relationship between father and son, bad things happen. But it brings forth the opportunity for reconciliation. It brings forth the opportunity to be restored, to experience the joy of that which has been lost being found again. It's interesting that the older son looks upon this with a hardness of heart. He doesn't realize how much the father has loved him all along because the father throws a big party for the one who treated him so badly. He's like, where's my party? How come you never celebrated with me? He runs away, having taken part of your fortune, spends it on prostitutes, Dad. And you're giving him a party? What about me? He got jealous. For those of you looking for a deeper understanding of this, this is Jesus' way of saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the legalists in the Jewish society there, you hard-hearted people. Rejoice when we get one who's lost, who is found again. Don't worry about yourself. I love you. Lighten up. Our mission isn't to reward everybody who's been found. You never left me. You're found. You're in the kingdom. Let's bring more, because I got room. Even when we break that relationship, the evidence of God is all around us. The longing in our hearts remains. Some continue to do whatever they can to keep their father at bay. Some hold such anger in their hearts about who their father was to them, the opportunities that they never have, that there is an anger that remains in their hearts. And the last thing they want to do is to be reconciled with the one that they actually really want to be reconciled to. We see that in natural relationships, and we see that in our heavenly relationships as well. It is a sad thing. But God is there asking to be reunited. God wants his children back in his home. Less than 2 years ago, I got a call. It was a friend of my father's. I had tried to reach my dad for months prior to that time. And he called to say, "Your dad's in hospice. He has cancer. Don't know how much long he has to live. And I just finally got him to agree to let me call you." He didn't want to reach out to any of us. He didn't want us to know. I'd like to think that because he had been so little part of our lives, that he didn't want to make his last memories with us be times where he sort of drags us down in his pain and his suffering. But for whatever reason, it took him being just about dead for him to finally let his friend call his children. And so I flew out that day. I called my brother beforehand. My brother said, "I'll pick you up from the airport. You can stay with me, and I'll take you down to see him, but I'm not going. I don't want any part of it." And so he met me, and he picked me up, and he took me down. And he went in. And then we left for the day. We went back up to my brother's house. We drove back the next day. And I got to watch this wall on my brother just go down. My brother had been so angry with my father for his failure as a father to us that he did not want to be reconciled at all. But it was such a wonderful thing. After a couple of days, I had to come back down. But my brother kept going back. He didn't realize how much he wanted to be reconciled to our earthly father. But he did. And when my father died, my brother was able to say, "We got it right. We missed out on a lot, but we got it right." Amen. That's an important point to bring home, because one thing that we must never lose sight of is that our days are numbered, and we don't know what that number is. And so if we haven't been reconciled with our earthly fathers, and there's a chance, do what you can right now. But more importantly, if you haven't been reconciled to your heavenly father, my friends, tomorrow is promised to no one. If your heart yearns to be reconciled to God, if you have walked away from him, if those bad things in your life have happened because you have had that broken relationship with God, it's time to get right with him. It's time to ask for forgiveness in your heart. Even if you feel like he is the one that maligned you, I promise you, his love for you is greater. And he wants you back. A day will come when you will take your last breath. And you will stand before God. And he will either welcome you or allow you to continue in that way of separation that you brought upon yourself. I'm so glad that my brother reconcile with my earthly father. I pray that he will reconcile with my heavenly father. And if you out here are not yet reconciled with him, I pray that you will get right with God as well. This is Father's Day. We recognize our earthly fathers this day and we give them thanks. If you have a father who's alive today, call him, unless he's sitting right next to you, in which case, just give him a big hug and a thanks, Dad. But every day is our Father's Day. You can do no better than to be right with him. If you are not right with him, would you just take this next moment? If your heart has been pricked, if your heart has been softened, if you need to get right with God right now, would you just bow your head in prayer with me right now? Just repeat after me, Father, I have sinned and I have gone astray. Lord, I have broken the relationship that you have yearned to have with me, and I have seen the error of my ways. Father, I'm returning to you. I pray that you will receive me, Lord. Help to straighten me out and help me to realize that I am nothing without you, but with you I have everything and am everything. Receive me back into your family, Lord, for I come with humble heart. I love you, Lord, and I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you didn't have to pray along with me on that, then rejoice with all those who did. Don't be like the son that was out there pouting because there wasn't a party thrown for him. Rejoice that one who was lost has been found, and welcome him into the kingdom.